just want to quickly go to the Word, and I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Numbers 21. Numbers 21. I'm going to make reference to John 3:14, but really our text is Numbers 21. So, of course, we're joining the children of Israel when they are traveling in the wilderness. And, of course, we know, I think, one way of what defines their journey in the wilderness was for these people of God to have successful failures. That's what the wilderness was about, that they could learn to have successful failures. Because when they had to travel through the wilderness land in order to get to the promised land, where they could believe the promises of God, live in the promises of God, and every giant found there, they were not intimidated. They took over the land. They dominated the land. And they had a testimony for two generations. They served the Lord, and they took that territory. They weren't perfect, but it was a time of victory because they had learned lessons in the wilderness. And the wilderness is where we learn to have successful failures. And there is an amazing successful failure here, and I'm very encouraged by it. I'm not usually encouraged by a snake story. I have a particular hatred of snakes. No, hatred is not the right word. Loathe. No, loathe is not strong enough. I don't know. Please invent one. And if it sort of sounds French at the end, it sounds even more, you know, passionate. I don't know. But I loathe snakes. But this is a successful snake story, which doesn't happen very often in my thing. But it's, you know, to bring the children of Israel to a place of greater believing. So that's where we're at, a place of greater believing. And, you know, believing is a very elastic thing. Sometimes it's easy to believe for things, and then there's other places the band is very tight, and it's hard to believe. And then it takes a dying, a crying, and a trying in order to get to that place sometimes. But here's one why I'm encouraged by this snake story, because a lot of times being stretched to believe does mean the crying, the sighing, and the trying. But there's something very unique about this snake story, because it was a very quick work. And I don't know, but sometimes I need a quick work. And let's get into this story. Let's just read verses 1 to 3. I'm reading King James, so I'll drop a little bit of the F, you know, some of the things. But when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. They utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormath. And here is opening on a very high note. Here we have some of them were taken captive, and there's this sense in Israel, we need everybody, and we will do what it takes to deliver our brothers and our sisters. They're moving in the presence of God, in the power of God. What do? They say, they beseech God, and they say, we promise you, you deliver them, everything we got, we'll give it to you. Everything it takes to deliver, we will give it to you. And so there was an utterly destroying. And it was this idea, all my strength will go to utterly destroy that enemy. And of course, today when we look at this story, we know that it is these enemies, the Canaanites, the enemies of the Old Testament are the perfect picture of our spiritual enemy. And this was the frame of mind of Israel at that time. We're not going to be mediocre like we heard last night, a testimony that said, I'm believing God broke me through mediocrity. But I'm going to, whatever it takes, I'm going to give it all if you will give the promise of deliverance. God delivered, they gave it all, and it was a marvelous victory. But here's something interesting in verse 4. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And, you know, do you ever wonder, do you ever feel like a spiritual schizophrenic in this place? You're on the top of the mountain at 10 a.m. and by 3:30, the mountain's on top of you. And it's not just, you don't have seasons. You like have hours. And, you know, I'm so glad that the you know, it kind of tells it this story. It's like, what, weren't you guys just had a great victory and now here you're utterly discouraged and defeated? And I think the key is they entered the land of Edom. They went from a spiritual place into another spiritual place because they were learning. And Edom is, of course, we know, Edom refers to Esau. Esau was the father, the patriarch of that area. And Esau was a man who sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He lightly valued his place and his inheritance in God. When flesh demanded satisfaction, Esau just decided that has to be satisfied no matter what. And even though he was raised as the firstborn and he was well beloved of his father, Isaac, and he was raised with the idea he was the firstborn and the inheritance of the firstborn. When his flesh called, when there was unfulfilled needs, deep-seated, long time happening in his life, he just caved. And he gave away something so precious. He did not value what was his. And so Scripture describes it, wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Edom collapses. Esau collapses. He doesn't even seem somehow to, like, for a bowl of soup? Seriously? Really? I mean, you didn't even wait for the rib spread? I mean, what? Yeah, the bowl of soup. So there's a lot to even to think what he traded it for. And so here, the children of Israel are now walking into a place where the flesh is very strong. They're walking into a spiritual territory of sorts, a mindset of sorts, where for one reason or another, our flesh is strong. It can a stubborn spirit. We want what we want for some reason. What used to be, we would easily surrender. Thinking we would easily surrender our way for whatever reason. We seem to stiffen and we go into this land where the flesh can easily dominate us. What it wants, it wants. And we seem very powerless to control it. And in this place, the people became much discouraged. Maybe they didn't understand they'd changed territory. Maybe they didn't understand who was the new prince ruling this principality and the power of the air. They didn't understand that they had done this transition, but they had. And there's a new battle in this place. And this is a place where flesh is easily provoked. And if we continue reading this story, verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. They said, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this light bread. And here, these people, they're speaking against God and they're speaking against Moses. And you know, beloved, when we find ourselves in the land of Edom, when we find ourselves, our flesh being directly challenged, don't be surprised if you didn't know it or completely understand it. But there are things against God and your understanding of things that rise up. And it's sort of like, God, you know, I have been praying or I am believing you for something and I'm not seeing an answer to my prayer. I am fighting. I seem to fight all the time right now, my flesh, and I don't seem to have victory. Where are you? If I gave you everything I've got, why is it so difficult? Lord, I'm trusting you, but, you know, I've been trusting you a long time. Is there an end to this? Like, and beloved, and then they spoke against Moses. And I think at the root, if you think the scripture says, the root of why they spoke against him was scripture says that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. So he's not a braggart and a swaggart. He doesn't lord it over them. What do they have against Moses? What's Moses doing that's making it so difficult for them? Well, I want to suggest to you with the grace of God on Moses the way it was, he wasn't doing anything. What was happening in their heart was a spiritual jealousy. They were jealous of the relationship he had with God. He saw God face to face. And they were jealous. They were spiritually envious of him. And they, the scripture says that when the sons of Korah rose up in rebellion, there basically was, their charge to Moses was, who do you think you are? Who made you king over us? Why should we regard you? We can hear God just as good as you. And they were truly betraying, really, in this instance, their charge against Moses was completely unfounded. It was all what was going on in their own head, in their own heart. So they find themselves in this place where they are spiritually envious. And when people know the favor of God, they're not rejoicing what it means for Israel. They're chafed. They're not happy that somebody's head rose higher than theirs. And they can't see that his good is their good. They're just envious. And they've got this deep-seated feeling against God that they may have been surprised about. And that combination leads people to really strange conclusions. And sometimes we can find ourselves in the land of Edom coming to some pretty strange thoughts and pretty strange conclusions. And in the same way that these people did, and they're saying, what was their charge? They were saying here, they were discouraged, so they said, why have you brought us, Moses? Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Now, I'm sure every one of you, being so hermeneutically sound as you are, could in a moment open that up. Like you're comparing the wilderness to Egypt. Well, excuse me, but in Egypt, were we not slaves? Were we not slaves? Was the bondage not so hard and so oppressive that a sighing and crying came in that even God himself moved his hand to deliver us in a miraculous way? We're missing Egypt? Really? You're missing Egypt. You're missing Egypt. What kind of thinking is that, no matter what the wilderness is? And they say, you know what, and there's no bread here. And there is no water. Well, we know that's not true. If there'd no water, they'd be dead. So there is water. It's just it was supernaturally provided for. And it didn't come in their time, in their way, but it was there. Must have been the sweetest tasting water there was. There was bread, but it was called manna. Bread from heaven fell down. They didn't have to bake it every night. They didn't have to measure out the flour. They didn't have to go harvest the wheat and then grind it. They didn't have to do any of the work. It just fell from heaven every morning. And all they had to do was collect it, not keep it. They had to collect it and consume it in one day, or else it turned to worms. It couldn't carry over to the next day. So they had to collect it every day. Of course, a picture of our devotional life. But they were upset. We loathe this stuff. We loathe this supernatural feeding. And, even sometimes we can get to the place like, I can't even open it. I can't even open it. It doesn't speak to me anymore. It's a battle even to be there. And beloved, if you find yourself in that place, you might be in a place called Edom. And all the enemies, it's all of a sudden, they're not the outward enemy of the Canaanites, but it feels like every enemy is within. It's the thought life, it's the attitude, and it's a very large self. It's all about what's not right. And it's taking my vision of God, where I am feeling very insecure in myself and I can't even rejoice when God is using or speaking others. And what is God's response here? And it's totally amazing to me what God's response is. In verse 6 it says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And it was very quick. Very quick, all of a sudden, in the camp, these fiery serpents appeared. I can think of a few things more horrifying. You? Anybody have a screen up here? I can think of a few things as horrifying as fiery serpents. And they're coming through the camp, and they're biting them, and many people died. And the fear and the panic that must have been there, a particular horror of this kind of judgment, a feeling like we are safe nowhere, because a snake has that ability to appear. We're able to penetrate where we live, where we sleep, where we eat. There is something horrifying about a snake. It's so silent, and the next thing you know, it's there, and it's life-threatening. And so what did the people do? Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord, and we've spoken against you. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. You know, when it went wrong and they ran to Moses and they needed him now. They needed every bit of God he had. They needed every bit of revelation. They needed every bit of power. They needed every bit what set him apart, whatever that was that set him apart spiritually. All of a sudden, they weren't jealous anymore. They were like, "We need you. Whatever you've got to bring now to God. You've got to help us and pray for us and take this away." And Moses prayed for them. And I want to say to you, beloved, that Moses, clearly in his spirit, he did not have a spirit of offense. He should have. He should have, because probably discerning what's going on, the attitude to him in a difficult time in the land of Eden when flesh is strong. Why he didn't succumb to his own flesh and kind of just like just a little bit, kind of, you know, squirm a little bit, but he didn't. He prayed for them. His spirit was clear of offenses. And he prayed. And then, of course, the Lord gave him the plan. It was a supernatural plan. And the Lord told him in verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." And, you know, everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And beloved, what, you know, it just moves so swiftly from judgment to remedy. It just moves so swiftly that God goes, I've got a type here. I want to show you something. When you're in the land of Edom and the battle against the flesh is strong, the battle on the mind is strong. When you find yourself unable to unify because there is jealousies, there is competitions in your own heart, when you find that in a horrible place, it's going to feel, because you're mine and because I'm going to teach you something so important you're going to remember all your life, you're going to feel as miserable as if you were bitten by a fiery snake. But I'm going to have a very, very fast remedy. And it's not going to matter how deep the puncture wounds were. It's not going to matter where in your body you got bitten. It doesn't matter how many times you got bitten. It didn't matter, was the snake small? Was the snake big? It doesn't matter the amount of venom that went into you. It doesn't matter the type of venom that went into you. If you look upon that which is lifted up, that fiery brass serpent, you will live. And of course, it anticipates the sacrifice of the death of Christ, who was lifted up on the cross for us, who in order from his death to bring life to all who look upon him and repent. Because John 3:14 says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So what was the successful failure? What was the what it was to be learned of this successful failure of the fiery serpents? Beloved, when they were willing to deal with the offenses in their heart, remedy was that quick. When they were willing to deal with the offense, whether against God or against a fellow man, a brother, a sister, it was dealt with that quick. In order for God to use us the way he wants to use us, the battle will be, the longer you walk with God, is keeping your spirit clear of offenses. This story is so important, and it's so intrinsic to being free in Christ. Because when there's offenses in our spirit, and the interesting thing is, I find offenses magnetize. You get one, it's sort of like a magnet to another, to another, to another. And when we were willing to say, Lord, thank you, if right now you understand where I live. I'm right now in a battle of Edom. Right now some things are very strong. My flesh is strong. And sometimes I don't like the response that's coming out of me. There almost feels like a hardness in my spirit. I almost feel like, you know, God, I just want to know one thing. How come you're not speaking to me lately? How come it was so clear? It was so amazing a short while ago. Yeah, I had victory over my enemies. It was amazing. But how come right now I'm not hearing like I heard? How come you are not showing up like you used to? Why don't I see miracles? Why, Lord, are you not answering on my time? I'm following you. And I just seem to be getting a dead response. I just don't seem to be going anywhere. And we don't understand, but little by little, it's only in our very, what a wrong attitude. And I'm going to pray, and I know it's true, that when we get a wrong offense, when we get an offense against God because it's wrong thinking. The Bible says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. We're supposed to wait on him. He doesn't wait on us. We wait on him. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, for he will strengthen your heart. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to build into us believing where the elastic is tough and tight. He knows how to build in us faith. But whenever we get to the place where we are wanting to, our flesh is strong and it wants to be the loudest voice in our head. And maybe even doubt God, doubt the whole experience, doubt what I'm doing, doubt, 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 doubt. I pray it feel like you just got bit by a fiery serpent. I'm telling you, a fiery serpent. The horror of it, the loathing of it. It just feel like that because there's a quick remedy. I'm going to look to the cross. Lord, you know all about this. And you died that my offenses would not stack up, that my spirit can stay clear of offenses. Because clearly, that's what took you to a cross, that you were clear of offenses towards me. You should have been angry with me. You should have pushed me away. I don't deserve this mercy. I don't deserve this love. You chose a cross, and the cross will forever remind me you had a completely clear spirit towards me. And I can be like you. If I behold you, I can be like you. I can be clear of offenses. And all my life, it's going to be a battle to keep my spirit clear of offenses. But when I see that they're there, I pray it's going to feel like the bite of a fiery serpent. Because then I'm going to know I've got a quick remedy here. I'm going to look to that cross and live. I'm going to look to that cross and be cleared. When I feel like a spiritual competition, I feel like a spiritual jealousy, I don't want it, I don't like it, I'm not going to brew and stew and figure anything out. I'm going to quickly go to the remedy. I'm going to quickly understand this story. I'm going to look to that cross. I'm going to say, Lord, you were immediate in your response to people who had offense against you and against fellow man. I'm thinking wrong. I'm going to remember there was a quick remedy. And I'm going to turn to it. And I don't have to live in this place. And Lord, I thank you. Then you're going to reveal to me. Maybe I was in Edom and I didn't know. I didn't understand how the depth of the battle against me. I didn't understand it was your great love taking me through the land of Eden where I might have victory. Where I may know in Eden, God knows the battle against the flesh is strong enough. I'll make the victory in the spirit quick. This one I'll make quick. And I feel all our life we can avail ourselves of this story of the fiery serpent, that the Lord was willing to do a quick work in the matter of offenses of the heart. You know, I have a true story happened to me about 8 years ago in Ireland. I probably staff know this story, but I, for some reason, God gave me this ministry of people, you know, who deal in crystals and rocks. It's sort of an occult thing. And I was walking in a small street and in back town of Monaghan, actually, Monaghan town in Ireland. And I saw a crystal shop and I felt prompted to go in. And my sister and I, we went in. And I didn't know what I was doing there, except I really felt drawn to go there. And I waited, I just pretended to look at all these rocks and stuff till everybody had cleared. And then the lady, the girl, young girl actually behind the counter was there. And she said to me, are you interested in rocks? And I said, well, yeah, one in particular. And she goes, oh, what can I help you with? And I said, well, the rock, I already own it. And it's a rock that lives in a weary land. And she started looking at me, and it's like she shut the conversation down so strong. So she goes, where are you from? So New York, oh, they love talking about that, blah, blah, blah. And then I said to her, and then she just sighed and looked out the window. And I said, doesn't sound like an Irish accent. Where are you from? And she said, South Africa. And I said, yeah, you must miss the sunshine of South Africa, because she mentioned it's always raining in Ireland. And she seemed so heavy. And I told her I'd been to South Africa, and we talked a little bit about it. And I said, what are you doing here? And for 1 minute, she just looked at me. She actually looked through me. And then she told me her story. She lived in South Africa with her partner, and they lived on a house that was built on stilts. And under her house, in cages, they kept small rodents. And the purpose of having these small rodents in cages under her house on stilts was to attract the snakes. And they were doing a research on snakes and poisonous snakes. And when the snakes would come to their house, go figure why she wanted them to go to her. Did she think it was easier if they came to her? I don't know. So when they would come, they would capture them and they would tag them. They'd have a number on them so that they could do research and understand the ways of snakes. So one day, she noticed a snake, a tagged snake that was identified, had come up the steps of her house. So they captured it and put it back. A few days later, she was walking in her house, that exact same snake. She knew it was the same snake. It had the same number tag. Snake had made its way into her house. So they captured it and threw it back out. One morning, early morning, she awoke to a blinding, excruciating pain to throw back the covers to see the snake was in her bed and had bitten her hand. The exact same snake that was gunning for her. So they rush her to the hospital, but unfortunately, the anti-venom that they give you for the snake bite, she was allergic to. So what was supposed to be her cure was killing her. And her life hung in the battle for days, and eventually she recovered. She could never go back home, broke up the relationship, and went back to Ireland to be with her father. You know, there's a particular horror to the story because you have so many questions along the way that you want to ask her, but of course, I just listened to her knowing this was the Lord. I shared the gospel with her a little bit, and I told her, please, would you come to a meeting tonight? I'm actually speaking at it, but we're going to be talking about how God has come to deliver us and that pain and that torment. I think she was in trauma still. Come. The Lord wants to do something. She actually gave me her name and number. I called her, but she never showed up that night. I never saw her there. The next year, I went back to that store, and it was another woman behind the counter, and she was reluctant to give me any information about her. The third year, because I go every year, I went back the third year, and the shop had shut down, closed, out of business. And I've never heard from her since. I tell you that story because, to me, a true story, one you couldn't make up in a way, but to me, it's like the offenses that we're talking about is when we have our offenses caged, it could be small, caged, and they live under things, you know, under our testimony, under our way of operating. And it is drawing. You know, it's there. And I feel like the Lord is saying, you don't understand. You see, in the Christian walk, the way that I want you to shine for me, you can't shine with a spirit full of offenses. You can't do that. It's the glory of a Christian to be offense-free. And only Christians can walk this life offense-free. But our offenses are like those small cage things at the bottom of things that attract what we don't want to attract. But the amazing thing is, in Christ, did not God use those fiery serpents for his glory? Did he not make even those things work for their good? Did he not, as a result of the offense, suffer the venom, suffer the bite, suffer the horror, suffer the trauma, and yet at the same time directed Moses, put a brazen snake on a pole and lift it up, and if you look on it, you live. It was an immediate remedy. And I just want to encourage us today. I hope all your life, something about snake stories stick up here, don't they? Isn't there something about a snake story? We tend to remember it. And I just pray that you and I, our whole Christian walk, we will recognize a fiery bite and know there's a very, very quick remedy. You know, the minute that, you know, offenses can go deep and be long standing. And there are reasons for the offense. But I'm talking about an offense here where we have something against God. He's not doing it our time. And we have an offense against someone when it has to do with we're in competition and spiritual envy. God says, I'll deal with that so quickly. I will deal with that completely. Because there's something that both those things will shut us down completely. And if we can get done with that, it's like God can shine his light on the other offenses and get us in the path of healing. But these two, there's a quick remedy. And so all our life, I just want us to just remember this story and remember the way God works with these things. And remember that he says, you look to me and live. I was wondering even in this story as I was pitching this, if there were a few people and they just, were they actually dead? They had passed away at that last moment that serpent, the brass serpent on a pole was lifted up. And was there even people that technically were dead brought to life again? We know that's how the Lord works also. And so, beloved, I just want to encourage us that the Lord says, I promise you, I will deal with the offenses quickly. I will deal if you're in the land of Edom where your flesh is strong, you have to look to me to live. You don't understand why all of a sudden you're so touchy, all of a sudden why you seem to lose hope, why all of a sudden for a season it seems like God is afar off and you're not listening to him anymore. And you don't realize that you question and you've doubted him. And the Lord is saying, no, I'm going to let you deal with this one quickly. I'm going to remedy this one quickly. And I just pray that our whole Christian life, that we will remember God's quick remedy when we have offenses in our spirit against God, when we feel he's been a long time coming. When we in our head know he does all things perfectly, that's why he does it in his time, because he's doing it all perfectly. But still, there's something in our spirit that wants to accuse him and wants to grow weary and wants to grow impatient and wants to grow complaining and wants to grow just cynical and live in the cynicism of it. Or you're given all of a sudden to spiritual competition and envy. That has been the bane of the church, that we can't cross our hands across the aisle and work together. We had women's D group at my house the other night, and we were talking about, what about this ministry? What about that ministry? Is it good? Is it bad? Can I just tell you my word to you? You're here for a very short season to open the word of God that he may speak to you and give you light. Concern yourself about that. The others, you will be given wisdom and discernment when you get out there and you get in a bit of the rough and tumble out there. You will have more things to judge with. But at this season, don't miss the opportunity that the Lord promises to give you light, to open the word with the Holy Spirit. And I think that a lot of times we judge before the time, or we judge rashly, or they don't look like us. So, you know, they're very different from us. I'm not saying that we let alone discernment, but I know God, it's a gift in the body, and God gives certain people discernment who love the body. And there will be voices. And he will also speak to us initially. But the point I'm trying to make is, I think so many times the church has fallen prey to spiritual envy, to spiritual jealousy, to offenses in their spirit when that's the root, and there was no courage in the heart to call it that. So it became another issue. And it's such a quick remedy for that. And I pray it feels like the bite of a fiery serpent so that we'll know, oh, I know what to do with this. Actually, this one's going to be an easy one. The offense against man and the offense against God, this is going to be an easy one. God's going to do quick work in this. And trust me, your usability level will so soar if you can keep your spirit free of offenses. Now, this is not what I'm talking about. It's easy to look to Christ and believe you will live because he will lift a heavy burden almost immediately off it. It's an easy thing to do. And the enemy gets us convinced that it's too hard, it's too complicated, it's too deep. None of that is true. I'm telling you, none of that is true. It's just that it's actually going to come up a lot till we learn what it feels like to walk in the freedom of it. And don't be surprised if it's not just one offense, but it may be a long list. But God knows it brings a special torment like the bite of a fiery serpent. And he says, I'm going to do it quickly for you in this one. You be honest with me, I'm going to do this quickly. You're going to look to my cross and you're going to live. You're going to look to me. I was clear of offenses against you, and I'm going to give you the same spirit. You're going to be clear in your spirit of offenses. And it's going to make a huge difference of the Holy Spirit moving and you being all of a sudden, God, you can do it on your time. God, I believe you. God, this is truly faith where no matter what I'm facing in myself or around, I still believe you. I'm not going to be discouraged and give over to a bad report because I've got collected offenses in my spirit. So today, I've said it. I'm sure you've got it. There's nothing more to be said on this, except it's a great path to freedom. I've lived it so many times. And God has been so gracious every time to me. He says, I can use you if you'll be honest. Don't give it another name when you're dealing with stuff. Call it like I call it and feel the bite and sting, but look to me and live. And I have. And the more I am free of offenses, the freer I don't... If you're bound with offenses in a certain area, God can only use you where you're free. So the more bound you are, the less he can use you. You know what I'm saying? The more free you are, the more he can use you. The more he can send you to different people groups and different situations. And when you're free of offense, you think right. You don't get this twisted business thinking here. What happened to these folks? You think right. So the snake is working for us this time. He's working for us. Let's stand. Let's stand. You know, I don't really feel to give a specific altar to call, to name anything in particular. But I do know, I feel like the Lord is saying, I'm here to free you from what you need to be free from. And it's like, Lord, I just thank you for once. There is a quick remedy in a Moses situation and in a place where I feel like I'm just doubting you. Why don't you show up on my time? I've given you my life. And understanding as soon as we surrender that, the faith floods in again to that place. And just for those that are saying this lesson of a quick remedy after a fiery bite of this nature. I thank you, Lord. I want the grace to do it now, and I want the grace to live in it. And you just say, I thank you, Lord. This is my goal that I want to, where I believe the signs of revival, number one, is where people love each other. I think everything else, if it doesn't have that earmark, call it false. It has to be that they're love, and you can't love unless you're free. You can't love unless you're free. And I just want to say that for those that just feel like, Lord, I just want you, I'm just giving you right the condition of this heart. And I'm just coming. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, but you're saying this is a word I want to live in the rest of my life. I'm responding to it. I want you just to come to the front. Just come. Now, beloved, This is a great moment, because if we've heard anything in this message, there's a quick release on this one. Now, there's some of you that have to say, Lord, I want to walk in the freedom of a cleansed spirit. And there's some of you that just need to come forward in that. That's going to be my goal. That's how we're going to define. I'm not looking to pack the altars. I'm just saying that for some reason, that is like, Lord, I've got a goal now. I am not, I'm going to walk with offense-free zone. I want my heart to be an offense-free zone. I don't want it the kind of heart that picks up offenses and holds on to it. I want to have the soil of my heart that knows how to release immediately, quickly. And that might be, for some of you, a hard thing because life has made your heart that draws to offenses and keeps them. And you've understood that the Lord is promising a brand new future with a quick release. And you just want to say, I want to walk offense-free in the sense of I know what to do with it when they show up. So we're just going to open our heart right here, as I know you've done. Lord, I just thank you for your living word. I thank you for offenses that have been in our heart, O God, and you know the reasons why. But we just thank you, O God. We're looking to you, and we are living. We look to Christ lifted up on the cross, who through your death, we have life. Lord, through the death of the bite of offenses that bring death, we raise our eyes to you, and we live. We receive the freedom of a spirit that is cleansed of offense. We thank you if it tries to return and we feel the effects. We will quickly look to you and quickly be cleared and cleansed. We say thank you. We say thank you for the hope of a spirit cleared of offenses. Thank you for this freedom found only in Christ. Thank you, you went to a cross. Lord, you took the offense, but you, Lord, did not turn against us. And so, Lord, I thank you. Once again, take our offenses and clear our spirit. We look to you and live in Jesus' name. Lord, just come against spiritual jealousies and envies. We repent of that, O God. We know it comes from insecurities. We just ask you, O God. We just give it to you right now. Clear our spirit of that kind of thing. Let us not go into competition one with another. Thank you we don't walk with that any longer. Thank you that we are going to actually be peacemakers in the body of Christ. Thank you we're actually going to bear a good word one for another. Thank you we're going to have freedom to frankly appreciate what you're doing in the lives of other ministries and our brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, we are going to have a commanded blessing over our life because where the brethren dwell together in unity, you command a blessing. So, Lord, thank you for commanding a blessing even now of a clean and a free spirit and then the ability to walk that way. Thank you, we know what to know to do when we're bitten. And thank you, it's so quick what you do when we give it to you. So we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. To be able to walk this earth with a clear spirit. To empty our spirit of offenses. It's only found in you, Lord Jesus. So we just thank you today. That's how we'll do it. That's how we'll do it. For those, Lord, that are just battling in the land of Edom, where their flesh seems especially strong in this season, I pray, oh God, you would grant them, oh God, the ability not to blame you. The ability not to blame people. But to keep looking to you and live. You will take them through. It will be broken. The flesh always wars against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. We are in a war. But we thank you. Thanks be to God in Christ who always causes us to triumph. The flesh goes down. Lord, we will not weary in this battle, O God. But you make all things new every day. And I thank you there is a remedy. And I thank you in this case of offenses, a quick remedy. So thank you for cleansing our spirit. Let a new wave of the Holy Spirit just cleanse the dorms, cleanse our conversation, cleanse, oh God, what you're doing in our midst. Lord, let us be quick to give you the glory. Let us, Lord, truly encourage and value one another and value ourselves and value the calling on our lives. Thank you. We won't live in comparing ourselves, oh God, but in believing you, O God, for our hard places. And when we rise in the power of the Spirit, Lord, we will find, Lord, that there will be many cheering us on, and we in turn will encourage. Thank you. This is only found in you. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I pray that for the rest of the day, I pray for supernatural joy upon the student body, upon the staff. The joy that comes from hope and freedom in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We trust you. We thank you, Lord, that in this we've had a successful failure. We know what to do in the future. Thank you for not judging us. We love you. In the freedom of your name, we say amen and amen. Praise God.